Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla la wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya la wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا Muhammadu wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, beloved youth, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we know in Mauritius tonight inshaAllah wal Asha in the month of Rajab. Rajab is one of the four sacred months as enshrined in the noble Quran, Minha Arbaatun Hurum. And in Mishkat Sharif it is mentioned, once the month of Rajab starts, we should try and read the following dua and supplication. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. O beloved Allah, grant us barakah, blessing during these months of Rajab and Shaban, and spare us and preserve us for the month of Ramadan. My topic today, my brothers, is something different and unique. Alhamdulillah, in the past 6 months, I visited 6 countries with my wife, and inshallah I will discuss with you a report back from an Islamic perspective regarding these countries. Last year, September, my wife and myself went to Russia. So mashallah, it was a Thursday night when we arrived there in Moscow, and there was a masjid very near the hotel where we were staying. And the lady told us the masjid is closed, which was incorrect. Nevertheless, we performed Maghrib, Isha, Fajr in the hotel. And Jummah time, about 12 o'clock or so, when I went to the masjid, I was amazed and astonished. I saw people coming from so many different directions. This masjid, my brothers, in South Africa, from where I come from, we have 1,000 masajid. But you won't find a single masjid like this. The masjid is 5 floors. The basement for ladies, the ground floor, and then 3 floors. And you find, subhanallah, for Jummah Salat, inside the masjid, around the masjid, outside, and the security, the whole area is cordoned off. They get about approximately 20,000 people for Jummah Salat. This is in the heart of Moscow. And on the 3rd floor, they have a museum as well. So one day if you go to Russia, try and read Salat in that masjid there, a really historic experience. Then from there, I'm just summarizing because we're going to speak about 6 countries. From there, mashallah, we went to St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg, subhanallah, they have one old masjid there, and it's 110 years old. So we performed Salat there as well, and we met some of the brothers there. And in St. Petersburg, my brothers, those of you who are ulama, hafiz, qurra, you will really appreciate what I'm going to say. Subhanallah, in St. Petersburg, it was 1924 when Lenin died. 3 months prior to his death, he signed a decree. And Lenin said, you see, in that vault, in that safe, there is a book, and that book must go to the Muslims. What happened to that book, I'll explain to you just now. So anyway, Russia was very, very clean, very green, and they were very, very helpful. Everywhere we were dressed just like this. My wife was in a hijab and niqab, and there's no problem regarding safety and security. So I, to be honest, was very impressed with Russia. Russia, my brothers, has got 150 million people, 25 million people are Muslims, and 99% belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And subhanallah, when you look at that masjid, immaculate condition. And you find the people are listening attentively to the imam whilst he was delivering that sermon and lecture of his in the Russian language. Obviously, I did not understand it. The currency is called ruble. For one US dollar, you get 65 ruble. And for one euro, you get 75 ruble. Nevertheless, from there, our next stop was Uzbekistan. So when we arrived in Tashkent, Tashkent is the capital of Uzbekistan. Everything was booked, so they were waiting for me there. They took us to the hotel, and then the guide said, let's go. I told him, no, we're tired, we'll go in the afternoon. My brothers, this is the incident I want each one of you to memorize and remember lifelong. One day, inshallah, if you go to Uzbekistan, you must visit the capital, Tashkent. Ask the ulama, there is one kitab called Usulu Shashi. So the old name of Tashkent was Shash. So these great ulama, they hail from that part of the world, now it's called Tashkent. So when you visit the main museum, that book I was telling you about was the Quran Sharif. They sent it to Uzbekistan, and then the people, the authorities in Uzbekistan, they kept it in their museum, and subhanallah, when you enter there, the guards are there, the policemen, they have cameras, and the Quran Sharif is open. And on top of it, you will find the verse written, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. Verily we, Almighty Allah, uses the royal pronoun as a symbol of respect and reverence. We reveal this reminder piecemeal gradually, the Quran Sharif. Wa inna lahu lahafidun. And we protect it and preserve it. There is no addition, no omission. And remember in its pristine purity. Whose Quran is this, my dear brothers? It was a Friday. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda was fasting. The enemies came and they martyred him. And his blood gushed out and oozed out onto the Quran Sharif. When you go to Tashkent, you will find that Quran Sharif with the blood stains. And it's a certificate from UNESCO that this is an original copy. And this is not some photocopy or something people invented or made. Nay, it's original. So subhanallah, it was in Russia. From Russia, it came to the Muslims. And Almighty Allah is showing us, in your beautiful country, Mauritius, how many hundreds of ulama you have, how many hundreds or maybe thousands you have who are huffaz. We thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for that bounty. In Tashkent, there is a madrasa, mashallah, I went there, and I delivered a lesson on hadith in Arabic language. On the whole, I was very disappointed with Tashkent, because when you enter the madaris, the masjid, beautiful structures. And if you study the Hanafi jurisprudence, then you will know that great, great ulama came from that part of the world. They were called ulama ma wara'un nahar. The ulama who came from behind the Sayhun and Jayhun rivers. So all that is in Uzbekistan. But today, those very madrasas, darulums, are turned into kiosks. Turn into places where people are selling their artwork, selling their souvenirs and so forth. There's hardly anything going on. The masajid are 90% of the time empty. You find some old people reading salat. We spent two nights there. From there we went to Bukhara. Bukhara, very sad also. Majority of the people speak Farsi, the Persian language. So the Iranian regime, they are taking control of that area there, and the TV programs, radio programs, the print media, all are in favor of the Shias. And we need to understand, this is the challenge of our time. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We have to preserve it, we have to promote it, we have to propagate it, and ensure our progeny to come do not leave the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah for some material gain. From there, mashallah, we went to Samarkand. It was a Friday like today. Subhanallah, three things happened there. It was around 11:30 or so. I told the driver and the guide, let's go to Imam Bukhari, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail rahimahullah's Mubarak grave. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَنِ الْبُخَارِي. Do we even know who is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah? That Imam Bukhari, listen carefully my brothers, when the Russians were in charge of Uzbekistan under occupation, communism at its peak, they did excavations and they found Imam Muhammad bin Ismail Bukhari, who wrote Sahih al-Bukhari in 16 years. They found his Mubarak body intact after hundreds of years. And then they placed a plaque, they placed a board, and they said, Nakale kufr, kufr nabashir. They said the person, everybody makes propaganda. They said the person buried in this grave is a great communist leader. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Imagine calling Imam Bukhari rahimahullah Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, a communist leader. 1991, 1st of September, we find in Uzbekistan they received their independence and now they have rectified all that. Now when you go, you will find the correct information is written. So there was a lot of time still for the khutbah and salat. So I went there and we read Surah Yasin. We made dua, cried to Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, how can we ever repay these great, great giants of Islam? Because they made the sacrifice. And today we have the ahadith, works and compilations. Thereafter we went for salat and the Imam Sahib was lecturing in the Uzbek language. And thereafter the khutbah salat, the khutbah was in the Arabic language and then the salat. Now listen my brothers, today I am here in your masjid, Markazi Masjid, our Honorable Imam Qari Salim Sidat, and we find that there are hundreds of brothers here. These brothers supposed to be Muslims. When we finish everything, the driver, the guide, myself and my wife. So I told them, driver, that I heard that Imam speaking something in Uzbek language. The Arabic obviously I understood. But what was he saying in the Uzbek language? He said, but we were not there. I said, what you mean you were not there? Didn't you perform Jummah Salat? He said, no. I asked him, you don't perform Jummah Salat, you came with me to the masjid? He said that I didn't take a bath. Imagine. So casually take it. I asked the guy, did you perform Jummah Salat? He said, I never perform a salat in my life. I don't even know a single surah of the Noble Quran. I was like so upset. I wanted to cry. Ya Allah, look at our Muslim countries. The people don't even read one salat their entire life. So my brothers, when you go to these places, then the history is glorious. But the present and current situation is very, very sad and disappointing. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise takes place on Monday, 12th Rabi'ul Awwal, the 11th year of the Hijrah. Who were the personalities who went down in the Mubarak grave of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam? One was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. One was Qusam bin Abbas. Where is Qusam bin Abbas buried? He's buried there in Samarkand. When you go to his Mubarak grave, you will find the ayat written there. He was murdered and martyred. Hence the ayat is written. And is written there, Shaheed e Zinda. Shaheed because he was martyred. Zinda, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Don't say for those people who are martyred in a path of Allah that they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. But they're alive, but you cannot perceive and comprehend and understand it. Listen this incident, my brothers. He, Qusam bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Abbas is the chacha, the paternal uncle of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His son, Qusam bin Abbas, was the last person to see the Mubarak countenance of Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last person to emerge from the Qabr Mubarak. These are Sahaba, the beloved students and companions of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day when you go, you need to visit all these places. Thereafter I came back, we went for Umrah and so forth. Then I came back, we visited Japan. What must I tell you of Japan, my brothers? They are not Muslim, but look at their culture and tradition. When you travel in the bullet train, you will find in the bullet train, which is one of the best trains in the world, goes 300 kilometers plus per hour. When you visit the bathroom, you will find the eastern toilet, the low toilet with water. Today, Muslim, we have taken out the eastern toilet and replaced it with the western toilet. And we say we are progressive. Think properly about it. Secondly, you go to the big malls, you go to the small shops in Tokyo, you will find when you buy any merchandise, anything, then you put the money in a tray. And the change they will give you also in a tray. There's no physical contact with that male or female. Imagine these are the Islamic teachings. You go to their houses, you go in your room, in the hotel. From the start they will tell you, put your shoes outside and you keep on walking bare feet. Look at the respect and traditions they have, all part of our Islamic culture. My wife and myself, because it was winter, so we were walking, a person will come in front of us and he'll bow down. Obviously in Islam it's not permissible that we only bow down to Almighty Allah. We only make sajda to Almighty Allah. I don't know Japanese, but he's telling me, I respect you because you are like a religious person. See how much love and respect they have for Islam. Three incidents quickly. In Japan, I gave lectures there. My one student is there. He was translating Maulana Umair. So in the Japanese language, so in the Turkish masjid, Indonesian masjid, and another masjid, it was Thursday night. Subhanallah, I found 10 children, 5 boys, 5 girls, all very young, 8, 9 years old. No one was baligh, mature. They all becoming a hafiz of the Noble Quran in Tokyo. Then I met the brother Harun. Harun told me, make dua for my father-in-law. So I asked him, who's your father-in-law? He said, did you hear of a person by the name of Atu, A-T-U? I said, no, I never heard of him. He said, Atu is the most famous artist in the world. He's 87 years old, but he hasn't embraced Islam. Harun's mother-in-law embraced Islam after she was 80 years old and she passed away last year. His wife, Japanese, embraced Islam. Today she is 16 Jews, Hafiza of the Noble Quran. Children are becoming a Hafiz of Noble Quran. A person, Umar Mehta, when the first Jamaat from Pakistan came to Japan, to Tokyo, they made tashkil and they said, come join us, come to Raiwin. So one person went, maybe other brothers also, but I want to inform you about Umar Mehta. Umar Mehta went, my brothers, 40 days became 4 months, 4 months became 9 months. He went with the Jamaat to Pakistan. He was a master of the Japanese language, a linguist par excellence. He translated the entire Quran Sharif in from the Arabic language to the Japanese language in the 9 months. See, how Almighty Allah takes work from people. First Muslim person to translate the Quran Sharif into the Japanese language. So wonderful, my brothers. Very clean, very disciplined, lot of respect. From there we went to South Korea. Subhanallah. South Korea, what a beautiful country. And the people there are so thirsty for Islam. They have 23 masajid. It was Fajr time. I had a program there, built by the Turks. When I came to the masjid, there were already 100 people. So I knew this, they were not waiting for me. So I asked the Amir Sahib, Haji Muhammad Ilyas, that these people, he said, no, last night was a tabligh program, Shab Guzari, so they all are there. And now I must deliver the talk in Arabic, Urdu, and Arabic, English, and Urdu. So I said, fine. See, my brothers, so many activities taking place. But when you study Japan and South Korea, three things you will find. South Korea is the headquarters for plastic surgery. Today, human being is not satisfied with what Almighty Allah gave. Allah gave me this nose, He gave me this eyes, He gave me this cheeks. Human being looks, they say, no, I don't like it. Now I want to do artificial. So now they go for aesthetic reasons. So therefore in Islam, we are told, Ridha bil qada. Be happy and satisfied with the decree of Almighty Allah. The suicide rate in South Korea, Japan, one of the highest in the world. Why? Because their whole aim is secularism. They stay far away from religions. So when there's no deen, then there's a vacuum in your life. And things go wrong, they just take the gun, take poison, take the blade or knife and just slit their wrist. Divorce, you'll find spiraling out of control. So my brothers, all these things are creeping into our society nowadays. Look at our divorce rate. We never heard of suicide before. But nowadays we hear of all these type of things. So all this is the further we go away from deen. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. When you go away from Islam and the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will make this life very difficult and constrained for you. So alhamdulillah, very, very good experience to be there. And then the university, we went there, delivered lectures there, various places. And mashallah, the translators are there to translate. A lot of brothers from Bangladesh and Indonesia. Then in this year 2019, I visited Thailand and Vietnam. So when we visited Thailand, subhanallah, our students are there. In Thailand, my brothers, they have more than 70 million people. And Muslims are about 10%, about 9 million people. 6,000 plus masajid they have. Various Darul Ulooms. So I visited at Darul Tahfiz, where they teaching the student to become Hafiz, gave them a lecture. Visited the Darul Ulooms and so forth. I want to share this one incident with you. Not because I'm a Maimon. Our Maimon Galkaranto, not because of that. Remember, there is one Maimon family there in Thailand, in Bangkok. The person is called Babu Bai. He's got a factory. They manufacture jewelry. More than 1,000 personnel, people working in that factory. At the age of 40, he took the keys, he gave it to his children and told them, I sambari ganja. You all must look after everything. He's now in the markaz, Tablighi markaz. All the expenses of the markaz, he takes his own money and he pays for it. I visited Maulana Ridwan, his son's madrasa, girls' madrasa. And hundreds of girls studying there. They don't take a cent from people and their own money to sustain their madrasa. The next day, it was a Friday, so I went to the school, Iqra school. More than 1,100 students and learners, Muslim school. Everything from this family. They're running 600 makatib and primary madrasas. One family. When we have jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta. When we have the heart to spend for Islam, like Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, Allah will elevate us to such heights. Remember, you spend one, Allah gives 10, Allah gives 100. Go see what they are doing, their operation. And not cutting corners. They fulfill their duty with beauty. That is what this ummah needs. From there, mashallah, I had a student, blind student, Maulana Islah. So subhanallah, he was translating all my talks. He came to South Africa blind. He became Hafiz, he became Qari, he became Alim. I gave him my books. He has some machine, that apparatus, I don't know what he does, and he just presses few buttons. You say, fixed up, I've got all your books in Braille, and he can start reading it and memorize it. See how Allah Ta'ala uses blind people as well. He's opening the school there, madrasa now, for the blind people in Thailand. From there we went to Vietnam. Subhanallah, we got 4 students there. When we landed in Ho Chi Minh, Ho Chi Minh was called Saigon. My brothers, There, 98 million people in Vietnam. 98 million plus people in Vietnam. Muslims, 60,000, 70,000. But if you ask me, that is, they count everybody. Ahmed, Muhammad, Zainab, Fatima, whoever. Maybe it's 50,000. And masajid they got there is about 70 musallas and masajid. You're not allowed to give lectures. You're not allowed to do work of dawah, tabligh. You must go to the police. And you must get clearance from them. And you have to get registration by them. When the authorities give you permission, then only can you deliver lectures. Can you? So mashallah, it was Friday night when we arrived there. So Saturday, I asked the students, what are we going to do? We in Ho Chi Minh. They said, we must go to Chu Ki Minh. Lot of men's there, you know. So I said, what's there? They said, this is the place, the epicenter, where the Americans were bombing. So we must show you that. I said, no, I want to go. It's very interesting. They said, it's 2 hours away. I said, no problem. The currency there is called dong. In Memon, if you use the word dong, my mother used to tell me when I was a young boy, he dong kareto. He's just pretending. He's sick. But he's not sick. So when I told me dong, so I had a good laugh, you know. And that money, $1, 33,000 dong you get. So when I changed the money, I gave half to my wife and I kept half. So I told her, honey, both of us are millionaires now, you know. So a lot of barakat in their money. So anyway, things are very cheap. When we reached there, subhanallah, there was a Muslim person, he's got a restaurant. We read Zohar Salat there, then we went inside. Quickly, I'll just tell you two incidents. Statistics that are official. Americans that died in Vietnam, 58,000 of them. Vietnamese that got killed, more than 3 million because of the aerial bombardment and so forth. Brothers, but who won the war? The Vietnamese won the war. Today, who's winning the war in Afghanistan? So this is Allah's system. Remember that. When you are on haq, you will win. So my brothers, when you go there, you will see this nation, the communists. But see what they did. They showed us the tunnels they built. They used to bomb here, but they used to come out the other side. Some used to get killed, obviously. They would bomb there, they would come out this side. They hold a network of tunnels everywhere. Their shoes and sandals, they used to use the thread of the tires. And they should put it upside down. So when you walk, now if you walk right, the Americans think you walk left. So in that way, they should deceive them. So how many things we learned from them? So I was very inspired. So I said, I can't come to Vietnam and I don't do some work. So alhamdulillah, it was a Sunday and I have a program. It's called the Q&A program. So I'm in Ho Chi Minh and the brothers are in South Africa and we linked up. And two, they told me you can do a program from the hotel, we don't need permission. I said, very good. So 2 hour program we did, mashallah, people asking questions from different parts of the world, and I'm sitting there and answering with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. So these are the 6 countries I visited, and now this is the 7th month, I'm in your beautiful country. Brothers, the aim is not that. The aim is to give you a message. What is my message to you? My message to you is, you are going to face huge challenges now and the future. And your children as well. There are people outside. One group are called the Ahmadis and the Qadianis. Go to the West and you will see how active they are. You must remember in Zurich, in Switzerland, they don't allow any masjid with a minaret. When I was there in Zurich, I saw one, it looked like a masjid, I saw a minaret. I said, who's this? They said the Ahmadis are exempt. You see, Western countries, when it comes to me and you, the Ahlu Sunnah, then remember they have different laws. When it comes to the Ahmadis, Qadianis, they have different laws. Because these people are out of the fold of Islam. They are agents for the West. Then you have the Shia. So the Shia do the same thing. You must remember they build up excellent ties with the government. And then they have oil, they have resources, and remember, they win over so many people. My message to you, my brothers and sisters, if you are listening, I don't know if who's listening, but nevertheless, You must protect your belief structure. That's your foundation. And your belief structure is the belief of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We believe in the Quran Sharif. We believe in the Sunnah Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We protect the honor of every Sahabi companion of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in the Awliyaullah. And we accept the four schools of jurisprudence, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis. That in a nutshell is your Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wherever I'm going now to any country, these are my lectures that I give. Protect your aqidah, protect your foundation. Allah will take care of the rest. But if our foundation is going to weaken, we'll lose everything. You have a beautiful island, and remember your island is telling us a story. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. I end with this verse. Look at your beautiful ocean, Indian Ocean. You will see bubble on top, foam on top. This foam and bubble is a sign of falsehood. It will be there and then disappear. You Muslim, you are the water. Take the water of Islam and spread it to the whole world. People are thirsty for Islam and Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Allah protect our Iman and let us die with Iman. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.